We're happy to see that there are a fair number of people here for the first time, relative newcomers to this path, this community, and particularly this event. And there are also some people we haven't seen for a few years. Welcome back. It's really nice to connect from year to year. I was hearing one of our sisters talk about beginning to come to threshold retreats. And how for a long time she didn't really understand what we were talking about. And also, for some people, the difficulty of simply sitting in silence, and perhaps even understanding why we're sitting here in silence. There was also a woman who came to a group we had in New England, and she attended our group for 5 or 6 months. And after that period of time, she was coming every week, and she said, you know, I've been coming all these months, and I didn't understand a word of what you're talking about. But tonight, I realized you are talking about something. So, the reason I'm mentioning all of this is that there is a range of experience here. And we'll be doing some talking, but we'll also be doing spiritual practice, much of which is very interior, some of which is silent, some of which involves sound. And we'll do our best to give a context for these practices. We'll be explaining the basics. And even for people who we've known for 20 or more years, hearing the basics again and again, and for people who are new here, we keep referring to the context of what it is we're doing and why we're doing it. We could say that Sufism is a process of human development in alignment with truth, a process of human development in alignment with truth. People argue about what truth is. The current postmodern notion is that everybody has their own truth. In Sufism, truth is not thought to be a formulation, something that can be believed. Actually, we did 2 retreats here on the subject of truth. One was, I think, 5 or 6 years ago, the never-ending search for truth. And another was just 2 years ago, the radiance of truth. And I was searching through my files to see what I had on the subject. And I pulled up a file. And I thought, I'm reading, really appreciating what's there, because there were quotes mostly from the Quran. And I thought, gee, this is good. Did I write this? And I realized that Dorado, Brother Mahmoud, put this article together. Process of human development in alignment with the truth. And for us, the truth is reality itself. It is the oneness, the unified field of existence of which we are all integral. We won't even say a part. There are no parts in this truth. And the Quran actually says this this way. Allah himself is the truth, And whatever they call upon other than Him is falsehood, and Allah is the exalted and great. And to contrast that, it also says, if the truth followed their desires, the desires of the ego, the heavens and the earth and everything within them would be corrupted. No, we have come to them with their remembrance, and they turn away from their remembrance. So this is subtle. They deny the truth when it comes to them, for they are in a state of jumbled confusion. Maybe what's being talked about here is our human tendencies, through the distortions of our own egos, to have our perception corrupted, to see always in a distorted way, and not to see with the eyes of God, and not to see all of this as the manifestation of God, of that one truth from which we can learn, which is continually educating us. Amazing us. And in this process called Sufism, much of it is a process of self-purification. Purification of desires, of opinions, of false beliefs. So it's a stripping away, which we are each ourselves responsible for. And this weekend is a time of practice for all of us. Really, the important thing is what you're going to do here, not what you're going to be told. We will try to establish a context. We will try to aim ourselves in an appropriate direction with an appropriate intention, with reminders of how we can practice self-awareness, inner and outer, and always coming back to the state of pure presence, the state of witnessing, which is the state of a fundamental state of our soul, which is that state prior to all the distortions that we impose on the world. So this is the reason for silence. This is the reason for our recitation of the divine names. And also, this is an opportunity for collective resonance. The theme of the weekend is resonance, with an emphasis on music, and we will make the music and we will be the music. The idea of resonance here is that there are experiences, collective experiences, that become possible when a group of people are in a certain state of harmony, trust, and consciousness. Around the time of 9/11, there was a woman, I think her name is Renee Levine. She was doing some research for her PhD in psychology, and then 9/11 happened. And she experienced what happened to groups of people in dealing with that trauma in New York City, in more or less in the neighborhood of the Twin Towers. At the same time, she was experiencing what was being portrayed in the media, And there were two extremely different realities. What she saw at the level of community and groups that were coming together to support each other, to deal with the catastrophe, were extraordinary moments of collective resonance. And she began to interview people to understand what their experience was. And the beauty of these experiences were a very stark contrast to the hysteria and negativity and fear that was in the public world of the media. So she became very interested in this phenomenon. What allows human beings to come together and have this kind of experience? And when she wrote about it and she detailed what her research discovered, it was clear to me that Sufism is very strong in every one of these seven or so aspects of collective resonance. These are natural for us. We'll talk about them more in detail. But I'd like us to, as a community, to understand these principles better in order that we might use them more consciously, benefit from them, and particularly this weekend, cultivate this collective resonance. It is a form of worship. It is a form of communion. So, in this threshold community, we have a way of opening up new subjects and looking at our tradition, looking at the writings of Mevlana, the practices of Islam and Sufism, from new perspectives. One year it was perspective of coherence, practices of coherence. Another year it was personal sovereignty, divine sovereignty. Another year, as I said, it was the radiance of the truth. Another year it was spiritual intelligence. This year the lens of which we look at our teaching and our tradition is the lens of resonance. It's always a challenge because we don't arrive with all the answers. But we hope to create a context in which we can experience what we're meant to experience as human beings by doing the practices that humanize us. Because in our contemporary society, what is mostly happening in contemporary society is consuming. We consume music, we consume food, we consume. But on this path, we make sounds, we make movement, we make silence, we make deeper silence, we learn to listen, maybe in a way we've never listened before. We learn to perceive each other without judgment, without opinion, as much as we are capable of. We learn to be grateful for everything. We learn that we claim nothing for ourselves. We grow our own nothingness. We cultivate our own nothingness. Our sister Jamal Noor, a beautiful teacher in Turkey, suggested a way of being in the world. She said, you know, everybody is better than you are. Well, really, Jamal, everybody's better than I am? She said, yes, you walk down the street of any city, and everyone that you pass by is better at something than you are. So our little claims of self-importance are I'm really good at.
Oh, sure.
And so is he, and she, and she, and she. This is how Sufis teach themselves about nothingness. Because in nothingness, you come to servanthood. And servanthood, what we do for God. It frees us of certain kinds of motivations. It also frees us from a certain kind of suffering. So, this is a whole extraordinary teaching. And the truth is, what we can experience when our hearts are pure, when we are free of the interference of false concepts of the mind. And then we begin to live in a marvelous reality, which we know is the theater of divine manifestation, in which we're grateful for every breath. We're grateful for everything that happens. Our context changes. Everything becomes purposeful and useful to the soul when we're continually grateful and not obsessed with ourselves. And also, in this state of nothingness, in this state of servanthood, is what I'll call an ontological happiness.
A big word. It means
happy just to be. Happy just to be. And when you're happy just to be, you are in resonance. You are oscillating with the supreme oscillator without interference. And it's a very different state than resisting that great oscillation. So let's remember that this weekend is a time of happiness, of peace, of ease, of acceptance, of welcome. And we're all here practicing the same thing. Resonance. In truth.
Just last week, I came across a lovely quote from Albert Einstein. He said, there are two ways one can live one's life. One can live as though nothing is a miracle, or one can live as though everything is a miracle. In that moment, he saw what the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, saw. And the Quran reminds us in so many verses of just all the beauties of creation and the possibility of resonating witnessing, zikring. And this weekend, we have the grace of being in this beautiful place with the birds singing and each of our hearts singing. So a beautiful opportunity to remember how we were created in a moment in his discourses. Madhvana says that one, you know, who's really listening can hear without words, you know, to that moment of be and it is, that moment of the command of God. Created such subtle creatures. And sometimes we forget that everything is resonating. Even the rocks. So during this weekend, may we just keep listening in, to the moment, to each other's hearts, to the need of the moment, to the beauty that's continually being poured for us to live. And it came to heart to share again as we begin the translation of the words for one of our favorite songs in the tradition from long ago. The lyrics were written by Rumi's son, Sultan Dalet. It's the Sagat Nadi, or the Hymn of Entreaty, it's called. And within the tradition of Rumi, the Mevlevi, wherever one travels, one will find groups of people singing this song. That emerges from that joy of which Kabir was speaking earlier. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I cast this body of mine, whirling like a moth, around the candle of your soul. The archives of this heart I cast into the rosy flames of fire. When I was a drop, I threw myself into the ocean. I can't describe this pain of mine, such a sorrow I have. If you love the Master, don't make me speak of it, this grief I have. But listen to my words, from a different place I will speak. What the dervish needs is love for God, the guide. Whatever the lover has is sacrificed for the beloved's sake. Sema, this listening, this sharing of music, of whirling, of being in this creation emerging, Sema is a joy, a remedy for the soul, food for the spirit. O Sufi, our conversation fills the soul with joy. Drink once of the dregs of our wine and see. For difficulty, it is a remedy. To our pre-eternal bond with God, it is fidelity. Sema is a joy, a remedy for the soul, food for the spirit. Enter in love. Joyfully let us live. While reaching the highest heaven, let's see how brave you are. Oh, the presence, the living one, let's get drunk and play the harp and nay. Sema is a pleasure, a remedy for the soul, food for the spirit. Enter in love. Let's be seekers who are remembered. Let's live joyfully, vibrating life. Come to Blessed Mevlana. Let's be his servant. Sema is a joy. a remedy for the soul, food for the spirit. So we come from many different directions, many different moments, experiences, and we offer all up into that rosy flame of fire, you know, all the recordings of our minds in this moment, just letting them disperse, opening to this moment, journeying together, listening, aware of this resonance. Vibrating life. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We begin in the name of God, the infinitely compassionate and the infinitely merciful one.
To pick up on something that Camille said about the subtle, living with subtle awareness as part of the purpose of being human. And when I asked in my heart what divine names could assist us and support us this weekend, two that came were Al-Latif, Al-Khabir. And these two names, interestingly, are almost always paired in the Quran. Al-Latif means the subtle, and Khabir means the aware. Al-Latif, subtle, the word lutf related to it is grace that's given, the subtle grace of God that we don't even notice most of the time. In some schools of Sufism, they talk about the latifas, or in Arabic, lataif, meaning the subtle centers of knowing within the subtle nervous system. As if we human beings have these subtle, subconscious, non-verbal ways of knowing, qualitatively knowing existence. And they're called latifas. So this subtlety, this perception of subtlety, this awareness of subtlety is our God-given right. And the increase of this latifness in us corresponds inversely to the diminishment of our coarse and crude egoism. The one who becomes subtle in this way and begins to live subtly and with an awareness of how subtle is this truth, how subtle is this guidance that's coming to us, how subtle are the gifts of God, such a person is transformed. And so there's that relationship to Khabir, meaning the one who is aware. And both of these qualities are, first of all, attributed to Allah, but we also know that in this field of oneness, which is truth, that the individual witness, the individual human being, the individual also partakes of those divine qualities. So, when we suggest hold these two divine names close during this weekend, calling Ya Latif, O subtle one, Ya Khabir, oh, you who are the most aware, that subtleness and that awareness awakens in us, in a kind of resonance with the divine. The divine name resonates with its corresponding reality in our own being. So, this is a form of what we call zikr, or remembrance. And it's very simple. You can do it by intoning these names. You can do it mentally by just repeating them inwardly. Perhaps synchronized with the breath, breathing in Latif, breathing out Khabir, for instance. Let's try that for a moment. Breathe in Latif, the subtlety of the divine, and breathe out Khabir as your own pure awareness, or as the divine awareness coming through you. Ya Latif, Ya Khabir. Follow me with your voices. On the inhalation, we are intoning Ya, meaning O, you, who are. And on the exhalation, we invoke, we vocalize first Latif, and then in the next breath, Khabir. So like this. Thank you. Zikr and the music being played within it as part of it.